So everything is impermanent. Impermanent has also like two kind. One is the gross, continual impermanent. That means the visible changes that occur. For instance, our own body, when we are as a small baby, and then children, then teenagers, then as adult, and then old. So every time that we change our body, the colors and shapes and the size is all changing. Similarly, outwardly, we have the summer, winter, and autumn, spring, the colors are changing. And this change is not something that occurs suddenly. So this is called the gross, continual, impermanent. That means the change is actually occurred very all the time, but when a big change is occurred, then it becomes visible. Like our hairs, the black hairs become white, and the young faces become with the wrinkles and so on. So this change is in a very subtle way. So it is called the subtle momentary impermanent, which means that this kind of visible change is not acquired something. Yesterday was as a black and today become white. It's not like that. It becomes every minute, every moment, every the shortest time that we spend, this change is acquiring. All the time it is changing. And when it is visible, then the lot of changes occur, and then it becomes visible. So to become the visible change, it have to go through so many moments of such subtle, so many the shortest possible time. And so everything is changing, everything is changing, everything, nothing is permanent, everything is impermanent. And it is said that all compound things are like with the four endings. Four endings means like the end of gathering is separation. Wherever we gather, we don't gather for all the time. At the end of gathering, we all go to separately. Even the family members that we think is kind of more permanent, we whole life together. The family members are all together all the time, but it's also not permanent, as everyone knows. Although at this moment we're together, but then in the life, old balance goes, and then the parents goes, and then the children goes, and so on. So they all separate. So the end of gathering is a separation. End of accumulation is exhaustion. No matter how much you acquire, you accumulate wealth or possessions or land or power or whatever you accumulate, it never remains all the time. It exhausts. Eventually, it becomes all exhausted. And the end of height is to fall down. No matter how high you go, like the history tells that the ancient time there were what we call universal emperors. The universal emperors that who conquer the many continents. And even in modern history also that there are many great emperors who owns almost the whole world. But they does not remain ever. Eventually they all fall down. You reach the highest and it becomes, owns the whole world, but eventually it all shrinks into a small country. So the end of height is to fall down. And then end of birth is death. Anyone who's born have to die. There's nobody who's born but who did not die. Even the noble ones who are completely free from the birth and death, but for the eyes of the common beings, they also have to show that they also enter into the Mahaparinirvana or to, they also passed. And so in this way, everything is impermanent. All compound things are impermanent. And then the second is, all contaminated things are suffering, which means that any deeds that is created by the defilements are suffering. Because it is created, for example, if the root of the tree is poison, then whatever that grows on the tree, leaves, flowers, fruits, are all poisonous. So similarly, anything that created by the negative emotions, like ignorance, desire, anger, pride, jealousy, stinginess, etc., are all negative. So the negative deeds create only suffering. So all contaminated things are suffering. And then all all phenomena are selflessness. And this has two kinds, personal selflessness and phenomenal selflessness. The personal selflessness means that although we all have the I, you know, we all think of I, but when we try to think of where is the I, you can't find anywhere. Because if there is the I, it have to be either name or the body, or the mind. And the name is empty by itself. Any name you can change your name at any time. Any name could be called. So the name is empty. Then now the physical body. Body means actually many things together. It is not just one thing. It is many things like flesh, bones, and blood, and veins, skin, and so on. So if you investigate from head to toe, each and every part of the body, you can't find anywhere that is called I. And so it's all different things, many different things together. So you can't be all of them I. So if they are all I, there will be many I's. So you can't find anywhere there's one thing called I. And then the mind also. The mind is changing all the time. Yesterday's mind and today's mind is different. Because when we are as a small child, our mind is very different. We think differently. It is not the same mind. When we are adult, it's another different kind of mind. So this mind, it is not just changing again yesterday and today. It's all the time, constantly, every moment that we spend is changing. And so there was something that is changing constantly cannot be the I. If it is, then yesterday's I and today's I is different, very different. So therefore, mind is not I. So when you try to investigate where is the I, you can't find anywhere. Although we have very strong build up, habitual tendency of to build up as I. So we all have naturally think of the I, it's like I. And so, but we try to investigate, you can't find. So it's called the personal selflessness or the personal self. Personal self is the wrong notion. Personal selflessness is the right view. You can't find. Even in our common usage, you see, we talk about like my house, my car, my land. So when you say my house, house is not I. House belongs to you, but the house itself is not I. Similarly, we say my body. So when you say my body, the body belongs to you, but the body is not your I. Similarly, you say my mind. So when we say my mind, also means the mind belongs to you, but mind itself is not you. So where can we find who owns your body, mind, and everything? So this owner who owns everything, that if you try to think, you can't find anywhere. So therefore it's called personal selflessness. Similarly, the phenomenal selflessness means the outer things. For example, like the table. We think table as a one. We think it's table as a one. The wood, many wood put together into a particular shape. Then we cling it as a table. But it's not one. Actually, a table means it's a many pieces of wood. If you take out all the pieces, it becomes many different pieces. And those pieces also, if you crush them, it be even a small piece is many atoms. Many atoms of the wood to get put it together. So even that also, if you take all part and the smallest atom that you can't divide, indivisible atom, that part, the indivisible one also, if you put it in the center, although you can't, with your hand, you can't cut it because it's so small, but it still has directions. It has the eastern side and the western side. So even though we can't divide with our own hands, but in reality it is not one because it has the eastern side and the western side and south side. So that you can't find the thing that is called one. If you can't call one, how can you have many? So in therefore, all things are also, as we say, there's no inherent existence. So that is the phenomena selflessness. So everything, and in the Buddhist teaching said that everything is, there's no inherent existence. So just by saying that, it is difficult to comprehend, because if it is everything is emptiness, shunyata, then why we suffer? Why we have the feelings? Why we have go through these different experience? But if you think of this way, in a philosophical way, that if you think of this, then you can't find anything. So therefore, it is called phenomena selflessness. So in this way, all together, the all dharma are selflessness. That word dharma means actually is a Sanskrit word, and it has many different meanings. In fact, it has 10 different meanings, depending on how you use in the contents. But here we will say, when we say all dharmas are selflessness, means they're all phenomena. It's not the holy dharma. The dharma that we practice, it means the phenomena, everything we see, everything we hear is also referred as Dharma. And so the whole phenomena is a selflessness. And now the Nirvana is the peace. As long as we are in the samsara, there is nothing but the sufferings. As you all know, we have the higher realms and the lower realms. And the lower realms, there's a tremendous sufferings, unimaginable sufferings. In the higher realms, we think of like mixtures, like human life. Sometimes we have happiness, sometimes we have pleasure, sometimes we have sufferings. Sometimes we enjoy, sometimes we suffer. But if we think carefully, only in comparison, when you compare to great suffering, that it appears like a pleasure. But in reality, it is not a pleasure. It is another kind of suffering. Because it's not a permanent, even the enjoyable times that you spent is not permanent. It's going to end. So it becomes another suffering. It's suffering. When it ends, it becomes suffering. So in a relative way, that it appears like a suffering, it appears like a pleasure. When you compare with the pains and the anxieties that you go through, the enjoyable times appears like happiness. But then, again, when it is over, it becomes the suffering. It is the end of that is another suffering. So the feelings, the good feelings, the happy feelings that we have also is another kind of suffering. So as long as we are in the samsara or the circle of existence, it is a suffering. So the only way to overcome the suffering is to be free from the defilements. And to free from the defilements, and then you have to know how the defilements come about. And that is the source of all the suffering and fault lies in the clinging to the as a self without any logical reasons. Although there's, you can't find anywhere called self, I, but we, without investigation, without analyzing, without logical reasons, that we cling as a self. And this is a wrong notion. Just as like we have mistaken the colorful robe as a snake. In the dark place, if you see a colorful robe, then you think it is a snake. Until you realize that it is not a snake, and it is a colorful robe, you go through fear and anxieties. So like that, until you realize there's no selflessness, that you go through, you cling as a self. So when you cling as a self, then automatically appears others, because the self and others are like depending on each other, just like the right and left. If there's a right side, you have to have a left side. You can't have the right side alone. So when you have the self, then depending on that, there's others. So when you have the self and others, then appears attachment and desire for oneself and anger to the others. So basically, all the defilements, the source is from ignorance due to the lack of wisdom and due to the ignorance of not knowing the reality, and ignorance of clinging as a self. And then from there arise all the other defilements. So as the root of the samsara is the self-clinging. So when you cling as a self, then you have all the other defilements. And when you have the defilements, then you commit negative deeds. And when you commit the negative deeds, then you create the karma. And then when you create the karma, it is just like planting a seed on the fertile ground that in due course that it will produce the crops. So likewise that it will produce the result, naked result. So to overcome that, you need to cut the root of the selflessness, the root of the self, clinging to the self. So to cut that, you need to develop selflessness, the wisdom of selflessness. Because the wisdom of selflessness is the direct antidote for the self-clinging. And so when you do that, then nirvana is peace because if the fuel is exhausted, then the fire naturally goes out. Similarly, the root of the samsara is self-clinging. If the self-clinging is cut by creating the wisdom of selflessness, then naturally all the suffering goes out. So therefore, the nirvana is peace. Peace means that no sufferings. And then there are also like small nirvana, and medium nirvana, and high nirvana, the great nirvana. The nirvana, small and medium, are the Shavakas and the Pratika Buddha's nirvanas. And that is true, that you have no suffering, totally free, peace, but it does not develop your full qualities. There are still subtle obscurations that blocks to develop your full qualities. And due to this, that you could not benefit others. So this becomes the greatest obstacle to become the full enlightenment. And the great nirvana is also referred as a non-residing nirvana. Non-residing nirvana means that we have the two extremes. On the one side, we have the samsara, the circle of existence, which is full of suffering, full of fault, nothing, not a single spot that is worthy of attachment. And that, through your wisdom, that is totally abandoned, that you are totally renounced the entire samsara through the wisdom. Then, on the other side, we have the nirvana, which is a complete peace without any suffering. And these small nirvanas also suppress, does not reside on them, because out of great compassion you do not remain on the other extreme of the nirvana. So the non-residing nirvana means that through the great wisdom and through the great compassion, you does not remain the two extremes. It is above both samsara and nirvana. And that is called the great nirvana, or the non-residing nirvana, non-abiding nirvana. That is the Buddhahood. That is the enlightenment. As a Mahayanist, our actual goal is not to be in nirvana, but to be in great nirvana or the non-residing nirvana. So that out of great wisdom that you do not remain in the extreme of samsara, and out of great compassion also you does not remain in the extreme of nirvana, so that you don't become inactive, that you are totally free from all forms of obscurations, and that from both ways that you are above both, and so you attain the enlightenment, and where you depart from all forms of obscurations and develop your full qualities, at the same time the great activities, the wheel of activities, never cease to benefit the sentient beings. Because the ordinary nirvana, the small and medium nirvana, does not benefit others. Although for one's own sake, there's no suffering, but there are still subtle obscurations. But when you attain the great nirvana, then you are totally free from all forms of obscurations, and at the same time, out of great compassion, you never cease your activities to benefit the sentient beings. So if you believe these four great seals and take refuge for the sake of, take refuge in the triple gem for the sake of attaining the great liberation, then one is a Buddhist. And then with that one can practice and come. So with this I conclude my talk today. So we recite short dedication prayers. Sonam de dam je se ba nye tam ne nye be da nam ba je ye ga na je ba lon tu ba se ve to le do a do a so jam be ba ve se da ra kem ba dan gan do son bo de a de Tata kynji jiso talo jingyo antita tamji rautu. Tisu shive jawa tamji jingo akangla chotu ngavu. Taki kive tawa dikynja sambo jish rautu ngavu. Jiso nje kusu njeve chinlo tanshi nye minjiru tenpe chinlo. Gende me jende be chela jingo amalam tabse chukaraj. Tempa jiden kamsu chenpa dan tempa nye shindu sawa. Tenzin penlo gende tempa yurin nebe chashisho.